Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to We Get Results. It's Tuesday, September 26, 2017, and I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson. After the short introduction, we will be rebroadcasting last month's program. It aired on August 28th and is about health care and how cuts to Medicaid will devastate so many children, seniors, the disabled, and people in poverty. What can we do about it? Well, we're going to listen to Meredith Dotson, Results Director of the National Poverty Campaign, and Clara Moore, a Results Expert on Poverty. So after that, what I'd like to say to you is that the vote on the Republicans' health care plan to gut Medicaid will take place this week, probably Wednesday, September 27th, which is tomorrow. If you want Congress to protect Medicaid and protect people who need Medicaid deeply, call your senators and ask them to vote no on the Graham-Cassidy bill. Ask them to keep kids covered. This is something that would devastate so many people. So please, if you haven't called yet, call your senators. So if you have any questions about this or anything else, you can email me at malbertson, M-A-L-B-E-R-T-S-O-N, 05, at AOL.com, and I hope you enjoy the program. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to We Get Results. It's Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017, and I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson. If you haven't joined me before, We Get Results is aired on the fourth Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern and also archived for later listening. The purpose of We Get Results is to connect listeners to ways they can make a difference on issues that they are passionate about. I think everyone can get results if they know what to do and are passionate about making changes for the betterment of those who have no voice, such as children. So one of the best ways I've found for one person to make a difference is through the Results Organization. We are a volunteer citizens lobby meeting with Congress to create the political will to end hunger and poverty. And you can check out results at www.results.org. Click on our successes page to see what has been accomplished in nearly 40 years, and there's a lot. So today our show is going to focus on health care in the U.S., and we're going to talk to an expert, we're going to talk to a staff member of Results and find out what actions we can take to support the best health care possible for all people. So my guests today are Meredith Dotson, the Results Director of U.S. Poverty Campaigns, and Clara Moore, a Results Expert on Poverty, who will tell you about her own powerful story. So I'm going to click on for Clara. Are you there, Clara?
Hi. Yeah, I am.
Good. Thanks. Thanks for being on. I'll get Meredith on. Hey, Meredith, you there?
Yes. Hi, Mary. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. Thank you guys for joining me today. I know we have so many things we could discuss because I want Clara to tell about her experiences, and then I'd like you to talk about what Results is doing in our giant international conference with people from every state in the U.S. and 20 countries, and so we'll talk to you about that too. But why don't I just start with Clara. And Clara, where are you from?
I'm from originally St. Louis, Missouri, but I'm currently residing in Portland, Maine.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking was Maine. And you actually just got home shortly ago, right?
I did. I just drove into town.
Yay. Well, thanks so much for not exceeding the speed limit, but getting here as soon as you could. So that's great. So I think
thank you.
Maybe you can tell us just a little bit about you and then tell us about, finding Results and what your story is.
Absolutely.
And Meredith,
so
say hi to Meredith. Hi, Meredith. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Think of some other if you think of something else to ask Clara, you go right on ahead and ask. So,
okay,
Clara,
will do.
Okay, Clara, tell us about you.
Great. So I have been in the restaurant industry most of my life, as has my partner. And that means lots of work, low wages, and no benefits. And so once we decided to have a child, I had to stop working with no benefits, no maternity leave or anything like that. And so we really leaned heavily on SNAP and Medicaid. And it was also the first time in my adult life I had had health insurance. It's really an amazing moment. And within that, so my child is still my child and I are still on Medicaid. It really bolsters our life to be able to not worry. Something arises. If there's a problem, not to have to do the gamble of we can't afford to take her to the doctor, things like that. So that experience really drew me to results because I wanted to tell that story, and I wanted to share that.
Well,
and results has given me a platform to do that.
Right. And so tell us a little about starting out with results. And I know there's millions of people just like you that are probably, you know, just very worried about what's going to happen with any cuts to Medicaid and SNAP, and we'll have Meredith tell us a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But why don't you tell us a little bit about how you started out, and, you know, this was your first international conference, right?
Right, absolutely, and it was amazing. Before the conference, though, I started by writing some letters to the editor in our local papers, just expressing my story and expressing how important it was that our policymakers really paid attention to what was going on for normal, hardworking Americans. You know, I mean, we had always had full-time jobs. We had always done all the things right, but the careers we chose didn't provide things like benefits. And Maine is a wonderful little special state who has a very moderate Republican senator, Susan Collins, and she is also an unafraid moderate Republican. So she really stands up for Planned Parenthood, and she really also stands up for things that help, you know, elderly and children, which Maine has a lot of both of those.
Yeah, I've been watching her right along, and she's done a few things that have really been helpful to other people. And she's not my senator, but I call her office or email and thank her for what she's doing, because what she's doing isn't just affecting the people in Maine. It's all over the United States. And she's doing a great job. I was so happy to see her at our kickoff morning meeting with Senator Sherrod Brown. Did you get to talk to her at all, or?
We did have a short moment with her, and then later in the day we talked to her aides. But, yes, that kickoff was inspiring. I mean, I stood up and clapped. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really amazing. Her bravery in the face of all this
was
great.
Mm-hmm. I know, and I think, you know, she really does what is needed for the people in her district, in her state, and many places that are, you know, country or out in far away from schools. She was, you know, not supporting Betsy DeVos, who's from Michigan with us, and that went against, you know, her party and everything, and I called about that one, too, and I think that we need to let everybody know that is doing anything that we think is helpful to children and people who have no voice, we need to thank them, not just ask for everything, but make sure you call and thank after they do, you know, do certain things. So,
positive reinforcement.
Do you want to ask anything about the IC for Clara?
Mary, this is Meredith, and I love Clara to talk about how she was modeling advocacy and modeling how to get involved in the process at a young age with her own daughter. Clara, can you say anything about that?
Oh, yeah. Good. So I was invited to the international conference, and Meredith very kindly said, you know, you can bring your child along, because we do have a child and my partner works full time and I couldn't leave her at home. And so Mm-hmm. I wonderfully got to bring her, and she got to meet everyone. And then when we went on lobby day, she came with us and, you know, charmed the pants off everybody, of course.
Yeah.
But also was there to just really show how real our situation is. You know, this little child mm-hmm. is the one that is affected by these large policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. That,
yeah.
You know, stories are always fabulous, but if you actually have the people that are involved in the story there, that just means so much, and it just sticks in their mind so
right.
so much that it really does affect how they decide on different issues. And
right.
I don't know about, I don't know if I'm right here, Meredith, that 70 million people in the U.S. are on Medicaid. Is that correct?
Yeah, that at least at some point over the year. So,
uh-huh.
And I'm happy to, Mary, this might be a good place to just kind of put the in context how important it was that you and Clara and others were on Capitol Hill in late July with what was at stake for Medicaid. Do you want me to talk a little bit about
yes.
that?
Oh, I love that. Sure.
Yeah. So overall, the Medicaid program is the largest health program in the United States. So for the folks who are covered, it covers children in low-income families, seniors who are covered by both Medicare, and if they are low-income, seniors also covered by Medicaid, also people with disabilities. So the Medicaid program has been around for quite a long time and is really critical. It, in combination with the Children's Health Insurance Program, which is sometimes called CHIP for short, mm-hmm. it covers nearly mm-hmm. half of children in the United States under age 6. So Clara's amazing daughter is one of many, many children who get their health coverage through Medicaid. So overall, it's about 43% of the people enrolled in Medicaid are children. So this program has existed for quite a long time, and it's a federal-state partnership. And then the Affordable Care Act, in its expansion of making health insurance cover available to more people and changing the health marketplace, it also gave states the option. Well, originally it was intended to give to kind of do this across the board, but eventually it became a state option for states to expand the Medicaid program to cover all adults with income below 138% of the federal poverty line. So mm-hmm. some states took that option to expand the program. Unfortunately, some did not. And right now, Clara is in a state that that is true of. But I think folks, it was hard to follow what was happening with healthcare. But one of the things folks probably didn't realize is not only were both the House and Senate looking at proposals that would have taken away that expansion of Medicaid, they also, those proposals would have fundamentally changed the whole structure of the Medicaid program as it has existed for decades and really had a detrimental impact on the kind of core population that was served even before the Affordable Care Act, again, on children, on people with disabilities, on seniors, et cetera. So as many of you know, back in the spring, the House had passed their version of a health care bill. It was called the American Health Care Act. That legislation would have meant that tens of millions of people would have lost health coverage. And then the Senate was considering their health legislation the week the results volunteers were here in Washington, D.C. and on Capitol Hill. So when Senator Collins, the moderate Republican from Maine, was speaking, you know, meeting Clara and her daughter and speaking at the results conference, it was the day that she was one of a few, just two Republicans, to vote against what's called a motion to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So she took that kind of strong stance to not bring the House health care bill to the Senate floor. Unfortunately, that ended up with a tie, and the vice president was able to break that tie, and the health bill did come to the Senate floor for debate. Once that happened, there were a variety of proposals and amendments considered, and then rather dramatically, there was a vote on kind of the thing on something called skinny repeal. So that would have basically been fool for the Senate to move it forward to negotiate with the House, which would have just kind of tried to just basically repeal the Affordable Care Act without any sort of replacement. And again, it was Senator Collins from Maine, along with Senator Murkowski from Alaska, who were voting against that skinny repeal. And then the third senator, Senator John McCain from Arizona, in a rather dramatic fashion, joined them to vote against moving that version of a health care bill out of the Senate and into negotiations with the House. That was a very exciting week. I think it was important that both results volunteers were making their voices heard, reinforcing. I know, Mary, you had two very busy days of lobbying on Capitol Hill with other Michigan folks and people across the country. We're here in D.C. for the results conference, but also been pushing back with policymakers back home, in the media, sharing stories, that sort of thing. So for instance, just amongst results volunteers, just to make it, make it more real, already results volunteers have generated well over 250 media pieces about protecting Medicaid and SNAP in the lead up to those votes. And even before the hundreds of meetings with members of Congress that folks had when they were here in Washington, D.C., they'd had 87 face-to-face meetings with members of Congress back home and held over 100 outreach events. So one of the things I think is just important to remember is it's great when we can come to D.C. and make our voices heard here in D.C., and in particular for folks like Clara who can tell their story and make it real. But we can also be involved in these decisions all the time by making sure our members of Congress are hearing from us, and especially that they're hearing from us back home. So they're hearing from us when they're on a recess. And right now, here in August, is the longest recess Congress typically has every year, where, members, representatives and senators are going to be back, have been home and are going to continue to be home for another couple weeks and don't come back to D.C. until Labor Day. So that's a bit about what's happening with healthcare, what happened with healthcare, and why it was so, the timing was so great for you and Clara and hundreds of other results folks to be in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago.
Do you want to say any more about either results or about the international conference and what happens, or do you think that's good?
Well, I do urge folks to, it is a conference we organize every year. Again, you don't have to come to D.C. to get involved. You can learn how to get involved at results.org. But typically it's a great experience in terms of lots of opportunity coming to D.C. Typically our conference is in the summer while Congress is in session, so the earlier part of the summer. I'm hearing from different high-level speakers. So we had a great panel of a few of the other experts on poverty that are, again, can tell their story powerfully the way Clara does. We had, helped open our conference along with our executive director, kind of reminding us of kind of the lived experience and the expertise that those with lived experience of poverty have. Then we also had great sessions kind of this organizing moment with a diverse set of speakers. We had the head of the World Bank and the largest nonprofit in the world called BRAC from Bangladesh. We also had lots of skills training sessions, so kind of opportunities for us to build our lobbying skills, our media skills, our fundraising skills, our outreach skills. In sessions where folks, of course, prepared for their, got the latest campaign information and deeper policy sessions to hear, to be ready to go to Capitol Hill on Tuesday, July 25th. So you can keep updated with plans for the conference and, next year by following, signing up for our email list at results.org. Mary and Clara, I'd love for you to say anything you think would be helpful for the audience about what the experience was like, not just going to Capitol Hill, but also any highlights for you in particular from the conference itself.
Clara, why don't you go ahead?
Sure, I'd love to. So first and foremost, I want to put it in the context that I like almost everyone, since the election, I have felt helpless. I have felt far from helpless, just beyond helpless. And finding results and finding the structures that they have in place to really guide you to how to make effective communication to your policymakers has been such a boon. It has been a lift in my life to really feel like I can communicate with these people who are making decisions about my lives and our lives, you know? And so just in general, results has started that in me. And then once I got to the conference, I was again lifted up by all the amazing people that I met and all of the amazing knowledge that they were just sharing freely. And I really left there feeling buoyed and feeling full and enlightened almost, you know, that all these people are working so hard for the same things I'm working for.
Well, I think the thing about results, a lot of times people sometimes will use the word lobbying for this or that, and sometimes I think people think of lobbying as something really difficult, but what it really is
right.
just having a meeting with the people that we have put there to work for us, and we're their boss.
Right.
And it's really just telling them what we want. It's not some really difficult lobbying thing or whatever, and they're usually very happy to see us because we're not lobbying for some big corporation and getting paid for it. And we're lobbying for
right.
people that have no choice, like children, and they really do appreciate that and see us as people they want to see. You know, we'll have people
right.
say, you elected us, and then you abandoned us. You don't tell us what you want. Well, most of them want to know anyway what we want. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them do. And even like right now, if somebody wants to get involved, there's initial phone calls for somebody brand new as a result to talk about what it's all about and what they can do. And like you said, the few days that we were there for workshops and hearing speakers and what they think would be a good thing for us to do to try to get the best health care and the least cuts to Medicaid and SNAP and all that, it just gives you so much information that you feel ready, you know. And a lot of times
right.
the first time people go, you know, maybe we'll just have them thank the congressperson or the staffer for what that person has done, and then maybe just ask for one ask and just do the thank yous. But it is much easier than people would think. It was a little harder for us because our group decided that we would try to see every Michigan congressional district in 2 days. So that was 16 meetings in 2 days, 10 on the first day.
My.
You have to go between buildings, so that's another obstacle. Mm-hmm. And we ended up with probably, I think, 8 face-to-face meetings with the members of Congress. And the best mm-hmm. and the longest meetings where we got to sit, and they got to tell us things, and we got to listen, and it was not rushed or anything. 2 of them were Republicans, and 2 of them were Democrats. And the one thing, another thing for somebody brand new, and the reason we could do that is we had constituents in quite a few of the districts, but not in some. And some of them will even see us without a constituent. But what we did, there was a brand new member of Congress in UP of Michigan from Traverse City up through the Upper Peninsula. And I have a niece that's a social worker in Marquette. Excuse me. So we called her when we got into the meeting on the congressman's phone. She got to talk to him. He talked to her. She was a constituent. I think we're going to do a lot more of that with having, if someone can't come, then we just get someone on the line. And she loved it. She thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
She had a good time with it. And she felt that she knew her congressperson now. And he had some very interesting things to say, you know, some good, some not quite what we want, but it was a real listening. The conversation thing is a big deal, and like you said, in telling a story. So we had, you know, some great meetings like that, and then at home, you know, we have a lot of meetings at home too. And once you start meeting with them and start knowing their aides, you know, then they know you. They think, oh yeah, well, we'll give them a meeting because we know what they're all about. But a lot of other people are not
right.
getting meetings. Some of the members of Congress. So I was very happy about that, but I think next year we have to try to split up for some of those meetings because 10 was a little much. But It was great. We had a great time. Meredith, what else did you ask about?
Well, I want to build on the point you just made about meeting with them, not just in Washington, D.C., but back home, you know, and just to share that, you know, I think obviously members of Congress, you know, there's so many folks who are interested in engaging in the political process, and many members of Congress, you know, especially those that are not hosting town halls or not visibly meeting with a lot of constituents, are facing a lot of pressure, and people, to be frank, feel frustrated that they can't get to these policymakers that work for them. And one of the things, you know, results is a model of how to get involved. It's not the model. I think, you know, a lot of the more kind of public pressure that members of Congress were getting at town halls or at protests that people were having because they weren't having town halls, I think that also helped highlight what's at stake for Medicaid, for instance, in the healthcare debate. But one of the things about results model is focused on kind of building relationships and working with policymakers in a respectful way, having very clear, specific requests or, you know, kind of issues. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about, you know, I think we need to do something about healthcare. It's do not cap the Medicaid program. Don't change the structure of the Medicaid program, which would compromise health coverage for children, for seniors, with people with disabilities. So being very clear and specific, I think that has meant that a lot of results volunteers, even sometimes on the same day that others are hosting protests in front of offices of policymakers who won't meet with them, results volunteers are sitting down and getting those meetings and sitting down and having those conversations with policymakers. So, you know, I just urge folks to consider joining you, Mary, joining Clara, joining hundreds of other results volunteers, and kind of getting involved at a deeper level in terms of advocacy, and to check out this model that Results uses, of, you know, because I've seen how much it's made a difference on this healthcare fight, but also on other fights that we'll have ahead. And I'm happy to talk more about that because I know folks are probably wondering what Congress is going to do next, too.
Yeah, let's get into that also. And, you know, I was just going to say, too, that, you know, once you do get to meet with either the aide or the congressperson, you know, then the big thing is to make sure that you thank them for the meeting and that you ask them what their boss has decided on the actions that you want. And as far as going back to meeting with them, you know, in district, I just had a really great talk with Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan at an event on Saturday, and actually it was on Sunday, and we discussed issues of poverty in the U.S., and I asked her to protect Medicaid and SNAP because the Senate Budget Committee is considering deep cuts to both Medicaid and SNAP coming up. First of all, of course, I thanked her for protecting health care for millions of people, because she was fighting very hard for that. She's a minority leader of the Agriculture Committee and also on the Finance Committee, which is funding for Medicaid. So from what I understand, the cuts to Medicaid that they are thinking about is $880 billion over the next 10 years. And in Michigan, 2,291,000 people get comprehensive affordable health care coverage through Medicaid. Looks like possibly 14 million people would lose Medicaid coverage in Michigan. So those harmful cuts to Medicaid must be off the table. We must protect the most vulnerable low-income children. That's what we told her. She said, yes, definitely. She was going to fight for that. And then I gave her aid, all the information that I had sent to her office and some other briefs, you know, talked to her. And it was just it was a really good meeting. And if you don't, you can get on there. Email, not like newsletter or whatever, which lets you know if they're having, at least usually lets you know if they're having a town hall or a coffee or they're going to be at an event. And then what I do is I go to as many of those events as I can. I've got one coming up on Saturday with three members of Congress, and I'm going to go and ask them all about these issues that we just talked about in Congress. So it really works. They really get to know you. It really works. You know, I went and saw Congressman Dan Kildee, who's from Flint, if you see anything about the Flint water crisis, and talked to him. And he said, hey, Mary, you going to the barbecue this afternoon? Because there was another event in the afternoon. And I said, yeah, I'm going there. So you have to talk to him and his aides over there. And they're just happy to see us. We had just, you know, like I said, great meetings when we were in D.C. But I think that was mainly what
and
I
one of the
to
reasons,
say.
Mary. Yeah, and one of the reasons, Mary, the meetings are great in D.C. is because they know that you're paying attention back home. And that's one of the reasons you get those meetings when you come to D.C., and it's one of the reasons why, you know, it's because there's folks like you that are kind of paying attention or showing up to when they're out in the district, too. So, yeah, it's not an accident.
One quick thing that happened a couple of years ago was we went to see Senator Gary Peters. I think he was still a representative of Michigan at that point. But he always knew we wanted to take a picture, and he had quite a bit of time with us, and then they started beeping him for a vote on the floor that he had to leave for. But he knew we really wanted a picture, as usual. And so he stopped and took a picture with us, and by the time we were done, they were beeping that there was 1 minute and 45 seconds left for the vote, and he shot out of there and went down to vote because, you know, he wanted to stay and take a picture with us, which we felt really good about. So, you know, we see him all the time here, too. Both senators in our state are wonderful, and we hope next year that Debbie Stabenow will definitely keep her position as a senator from Michigan because she's up next year. So that's kind of the way that we've been doing things around here, and just try to go to everything we can. So anything else on that, Meredith?
Yeah, so let me just flag so folks know what are some of the big kind of things that are coming up so that when they're thinking about how to, you know, where they can get involved and how to get involved, that they know what Congress is going to be doing and the importance of raising their voices. So there's a couple of different areas we could see that we will perhaps see action this fall in Congress. And one of the things overall I think it's important to remember is, you know, as much as, yes, we have a new president, but this is an agenda that's being kind of driven primarily by Congress with a lot of, and we can look at past proposals that we've seen from House and Senate leadership to get a sense of what could be coming up. It's not new, it's not always new things because we have a new president. The first is on health care. You know, there are some policymakers saying, hey, we can't, including House Speaker Paul Ryan at a town hall in Wisconsin last night saying, you know, the Senate needs to do something, they should come back to health care. You know, to be frank, I think we're more likely to see kind of bipartisan and should see bipartisan efforts to move forward on stabilizing the health marketplace without going back to large proposals that could end the Medicaid program as we know it. But there could be threats to Medicaid if they do take up some health legislation or as a bargaining chip for other legislation that might come up this fall. But also the House, we have upcoming battles about the budget. So normally the budget is like a blueprint. It's just kind of target goals for spending and taxes, et cetera. But the House Budget Committee passed their budget a few weeks ago, and it includes deep cuts to basic assistance programs like Medicaid and SNAP, also to, for instance, the Earned Income Tax Credit, et cetera. And the full House is probably going to be voting on that budget proposal in September, maybe even the first week they're back after Labor Day. So what is particularly important is that they've included in their budget what are called budget reconciliation instructions. That allows them to kind of, quote, fast-track cuts in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So while the budget overall is kind of a non-binding goal-setting thing, the House budget sets up a process where we could see them enacting over $200 billion worth of cuts to basic assistance programs, you know, programs that help people put food on the table, that help folks get health care, et cetera. So, for example, the House budget proposal overall includes $1.5 trillion in cuts to Medicaid and other health care programs. And it fast tracks at least $20 billion in cuts to Medicaid in their budget. They they include $150 billion in cuts to SNAP, our first line of defense against hunger, formerly known as food stamps. It's a 20% cut over 10 years, and they fast track $10 billion worth of those cuts for enactment this fall. So that's going to be a big fight that we'll see first, perhaps to see if they can get it passed on the House floor, and especially anyone with a moderate House Republican representative should be weighing in loud and clear that you want them to vote against this House budget resolution with these deep spending cuts. But then the Senate will take up their version of a budget. If both chambers pass it, of course, and if they look different, which they probably will, we're going to have to hold the line that any final budget does not include these deep cuts that are fast-tracked to basic assistance programs. And then the other thing that some leaders in Congress are very hot to move on to is tax legislation. And they're actually, yeah, their budget shows how they're trying to use these spending cuts to pay for tax breaks that are really just tax breaks for the wealthy and corporations. So the Senate is much more resistant to this idea. I think there's a lot of interest in making sure the tax legislation is, and I think we should push that it be at least revenue neutral, so it doesn't actually add to our deficit, and then we're not paying for it with cuts to basic assistance programs. There was a lot of members of Congress heard loud and clear that they didn't like, that voters didn't like deep cuts to Medicaid that were to pay for tax breaks that went mostly to the wealthy, to wealthy individuals. Yeah. And yet again, we're seeing that out of the House budget, and we could of course see. We could see threats to some of the really important tax credits that help low-income families. So those are a couple of the things that are coming up. Again, it's not quite certain if what action we'll see on health care. We need to make sure that we keep Medicaid off the table with anything they do. We know that the House is looking to take up their budget resolution, and then the Senate will do their version and then work on tax legislation this fall. And people, it will be critically important that folks raise their voices in all of those upcoming battles. So, Mary, your example of the work, the way that members of Congress are hearing from you in August is a great example of how to make the most of this congressional recess and make sure loud and clear people are hearing from you. And folks who are interested in finding public events like town halls, I urge you to, you can check out the Town Hall Project website, which lists these different events. But another tool to get your voice heard is in the media, and that's actually something that Clara, even though you're relatively new, Clara, to results, you've done a great job of sharing your story and helping other people share their story in the media. I don't know if you want to say anything about
that.
Thank
you. Yeah, it was my first time. I think I wrote a letter to the editor maybe when I was 20 or something, but it was the first time that I had really expressed those things almost directly to policymakers, and then also talked to other people about sharing their stories and really seeing like the lightning in people's faces when they realized that, they could, their story is important, even though it's their story and it's probably boring to them. It's important to share that and for people to hear that and see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Clara, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, and that results in enabling this is sort of a lovely gateway into really becoming an involved citizen and part of our democracy. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of times people think they have no power over Congress,
right, of course,
or anything that's happening. And it's so bad that there are so few people that are calling that now all of a sudden when things seem to be getting pretty bad or they're threatening things that are pretty bad, there's a lot of people involved. That's probably the only good thing that's happened recently is that it's gotten people to go, oh, no, you're not getting rid of my health insurance. You're not going to get rid of Medicaid for my kid that's disabled, or that my mother who's in a Medicaid nursing home won't have a nursing home to be in anymore. And so a lot of people are speaking up. A lot of people don't know about results, and we hope that more people will get involved, because I think, you know, our group, and not necessarily that other ones don't, but we are very good as far as being respectful to every congressperson and making sure that we aren't saying negative things about them. We see negative when we have meetings. It's all about thank you, and this is why you should do this. And so I think that Results just has a very good model for that compared to some that are doing some kind of far out, you know, more politically forceful things.
So, and if folks are kind of, I think you've mentioned this already, but if folks are looking for how they can get in, you know, kind of how can they start taking action and get involved, you know, obviously you can go to results.org and you click take action, and you could take a quick online action right now, and that also you can make sure that you're in our email database so you know what's happening. My advice to folks is, if you are sending an email using a tool like we provide, we provide a template to send an email to your policymakers, but, you know, include your story. And when you personalize it, it's much more likely to be read and help make the issues real for those policymakers in D.C. So that's a quick thing, folks, everyone listening right now could do. If they haven't taken action recently, you go to results.org and under take action, you can do that. And then, of course, we'd love to support folks who want to get involved at a deeper level, to get plugged into one of our local volunteer chapters, or support you to take action as part of a virtual results group, or even start a new results chapter if you're in a community that doesn't have a results group nearby. So, you know, we're happy to touch base with folks about more details with that. And so please do be in touch. And kind of a good place to start again is to go to results.org for how to do that.
I think we've seen that, you know, one big reason why things have happened the way they have is because so many people did not vote in the last election. And I think it might have been 46%, you know, Meredith, if that was it. But
I don't know the exact number, but okay. It's in that neighborhood.
Well, they showed a pie chart, and there was this huge part that was why things happened, and it had to do with so many people not voting. And I think, you know, a lot of people now are going, I am definitely going to vote this time. But voting is not enough. We've got to do more than voting. We've got to talk to all of our friends and people we know about why certain people would be protecting their rights to and their rights to health insurance and everything else. And getting involved signing a petition online, because those come through a lot, and you feel like you did something, but you never hear back what happened. And there's so many more things that you can get deeply involved in that don't take that much time and will definitely be better than just signing a petition online.
Yeah, and it's, you know, everyone does their part, of course, you know, different times in our lives. You know, we have more time to give or to get involved, and also, you know, this is a moment, or we're facing moments now where a lot of folks are kind of questioning the direction our country is going in, wanting to take a stand, not only against, you know, kind of for a against policies that would make poverty worse, and instead, you know, really push that would create opportunity and mobility. But also, of course, you know, kind of, I know a lot of folks are looking for ways to express their concern about racism and kind of white supremacy and the kind of threats that exist that could really tear our country apart, and kind of growing awareness of that. And I think it's important for people to get involved in whatever way, you know, in ways that are comfortable for them, that work in their life and their, you know, their families and their work and everything else. But I hope people will get involved. And results, for many, results provide a great platform, not the only platform, but a great platform to do that with, you know, really specific training and support to make your on these sorts of issues.
And I know today we've gone through domestic issues and things that have to do with everyone in the U.S. and children in poverty, but we also want to just mention you can also look on results.org to see our global issues that we also work on and talk to Congress about and what we can do about children dying of preventative disease all across the world. So something else just to look at.
Yeah, and many of us can obviously share more about the importance of access to education in our own lives and what that's meant for ourselves or our families. But there's opportunities in particular. This could be a really, this is a really critical moment to support access to education, especially for girls and around the world. So, again, there's another, there are other opportunities to get involved. You can find out a lot more about that at results.org.
Yeah, and go on the successes page and see everything that's happened that we worked for and that we've been able to do. And take a look. If anyone has any questions, they can email me at malbertson05@aol.com. How about you, Meredith, somewhere to
Yep, you can drop me a line at mdodson, D-O-D-S-O-N, at results.org. And Clara, do you have any advice? I would love to close out with maybe advice you have for folks who are kind of new to advocacy and just getting started, if there's anything in particular you feel like is worth sharing that way.
My first advice is that it's not hard. It's not really advice. My first just statement is it's not hard. It's not hard to do it all. It feels great. And really you have the tools. All it is really the basis is telling your story and why you're involved in this. And even if you don't have a story like mine that is based in poverty, you can still talk about why it's important to you that we save things like Medicaid and SNAP, why it's personal, because that's what people need to hear.
Well, I like this saying, all children are our children, not just our biological children. We all,
absolutely.
All children all over the world are our children, and if we can do anything to help them survive, we need to do that.
Absolutely.
Meredith, anything you'd like to leave us with?
No, I just this time in our country's history in particular, it's important that we stand up for the kind of country we want for our children and all children, and I hope folks will get involved and make their voices heard.
Yeah, thank you both so much for joining us. Anything else from you, Clara?
No, I just really hope that this encourages folks to try out being involved because it's really a wonderful experience.
You have nothing to lose, and it's a joy knowing that you've helped people get enough food and keep kids out of poverty. So look at results.org.
Right.
Have your friends listen to this broadcast. It's archived on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, and I'll put it out there as much as I can. And please let me know if any of you have questions. And thanks again, Meredith and Clara.
Thank you, Mary, so much. Always a pleasure.
Have a good day. Take care, everyone. Talk to you next month. Goodbye.